Call for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's the director of WUSA 9 Call for Action and your host, Shirley Rooker.
Do you read the tiny print on TV and print ads? Bet you don't. At least if you have a chance, do you? Do you know when a product has been downsized? Well, we're going to introduce you to somebody who does, and he tells us all about them. My guest is Edgar Dvorsky. He is the founder of ConsumerWorld.org and my favorite website, MousePrint.org, and some others we're going to talk about, too. He is also the former Assistant Attorney General for Consumer Protection in the state of Massachusetts. Edgar, it's so good to have you on. How are you doing?
I'm fine, Shirley. Thanks so much for inviting me to be on your program.
Now, when I say that I truly love MousePrint, it is so cute. Why don't you tell our listeners and tell them how to get there? MousePrint.org. That's it. It is a great website. But tell them what's on it. Tell them what you're doing lately.
Well, I've kind of specialized in my consumer career. I've been a consumer advocate for 35-plus years. And I specialize in advertising. And I tend to want to believe advertising because I think advertising is a good source of consumer information for folks. You learn about product features, you learn about prices. But when it's not true or when it's misleading, that's when I get upset. And I think nothing upsets me more, and maybe some of your listeners, is to have some wonderful claim made in the big print, and then there's a little tiny asterisk and a little footnote at the bottom that you probably didn't see or couldn't read that changes the meaning of the original claim, or it makes it seem much less wonderful.
The big print gives it
the headline.
And the tiny print takes it away.
That is the old consumer thing,
yeah,
for sure. So I started maybe like I think in 2006 or so a blog where I write an original story every week about the strings and catches buried in the fine print of advertising or on a product label or in a contract. And I just find it fascinating to tell people about it. And what I've found, unfortunate lately, is because there's so much fine print and so many asterisks in things, some of my readers say, well, you know, this is normal. This is accepted. I'm here to say, it shouldn't be accepted, and it shouldn't be the norm. We deserve to be told the truth in the main claim of advertising and not have to modify it with a fine print disclosure.
Oh, I so totally agree with you, and I hope it's not the norm. But yes, I guess we can get used to anything if we're exposed to it often enough.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, just to give you an example, I did a story a few weeks ago. There was a TV commercial I saw on TV from the Honest Company, and they had a mother and a little baby, and they were showing some baby products and things, and they advertised a free trial of their products. And for all I know, their products are you know, terrific. But I saw some little fine print that went by, and I didn't catch it. And I went online, and there's a wonderful site that I found that has almost every commercial you could think of there, and I froze that kind of last frame, and it said, you know, Honest Company, free trial, asterisk. And then in kind of light gray type on a white background, it said, only $5.95 for shipping and handling.
That's
okay,
not
free. You expect that. But then it went on, and then it said, you'll be automatically enrolled in our monthly service. Cancel the service at any time. Well, this turns out to be like a Book of the Month club.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? The problem that we hear from consumers, Edgar, is that those numbers that you have to call to cancel, and I don't know about this case, but you can never get through.
It's always easy to sign up,
right,
and not so easy to cancel.
Exactly.
These things.
And you forget it, and that's what many of the companies are counting on. I hate that. That's not free. Shipping and handling, I can take care of that. But to sign me up for something because they're going
to
give me a free sample, uh-uh.
Right,
there are all kinds of there are all kinds of companies that do this, Edgar, unfortunately.
And to me, when you have this kind of automatic delivery stuff, it should be disclosed really big and bold,
mm-hmm,
not tiny, in a footprint like that. There was another example of that. If you've seen teenagers, you know, buy this Proactiv, stuff, supposed to be good for acne, whatever. And they have this $19.95 offer, you know, plus shipping and handling and free gift, 60-day money-back guarantee. And if you look very closely, if you were able to freeze frame that commercial, you would see in tiny white letters, includes auto delivery.
Yep. They get
you. Be upfront about it.
Yeah. And that, you know, it, why are they hiding it? Aren't they going to, don't they think you're going to like the product? Well, you wouldn't probably sign up for it if you knew that you were going to get that.
Right. I mean, if you do think back to the old Book of the Month Club thing, that was a positive thing. You're going to get, you know, a selection once a month, and the whole thing was touted. They were upfront about it.
That's right.
What happened? No more.
And they made it easy to cancel. So, but the, many of these companies, that's one of the biggest complaints we hear at Call for Action, is that, oh, sure, it's easy to sign up, but you try to get out of it, and you keep getting bills on your credit card, bills on your credit card, and you can't get them to stop billing you. I mean, that is a common complaint. So the beware consumers, because the fine print can just take it away from you.
And I'll tell you, we've all seen car commercials on TV where you have this big, you know, block of type, or One of the companies recently that I've kind of been displeased with is Staples and some of their advertising methods. If you look in the center of a Staples circular on Sunday, you will see a big disclaimer, well, big meaning it's about an inch and a half high. It runs across the center of their circular. If you picture a circular, the centerfold stretches about 20 inches. They have, I'm guessing, 12 lines of type, a total of an inch and a half high. So the font size is really tiny. You have to squint and read it. Do you ever try to read a tiny line of type 20 inches long and then come back to the beginning,
to the next
20
sentence.
Inches, zero, and read the second one?
Oh, good Lord.
It is almost impossible to read. There's about 85 words or so on a line.
Wow.
How is that clear disclosure to the consumer of what presumably some important terms are?
Well, you would think they're important if they bothered to print them. They have to affect you. You need to know.
But advertisers have kind of gotten this notion. As long as we disclose it in some manner, that's enough. It isn't enough.
No, no.
Most laws say it has to be clear and conspicuous. And the FTC pretty much says you really shouldn't have to do an awful lot of disclaiming, if you will, if your main claim is true on its face.
Yes, that's true. On that happy note, let's just take a pause here and let our listeners know they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Edgar Dworsky. He is the founder of ConsumerWorld.org and what has got to be my favorite website, MousePrint.org. He's also a former Assistant Attorney General for Consumer Protection in the state of Massachusetts. But you're so right about these ads and the disclaimers and the disclosures, and it just drives me absolutely around the bend. And, you know, I wonder if consumers, if there was some way that they can let you know. By the way, Edgar, if someone is listening to this and we've just told them these wonderful websites, what if they want to get in touch with you?
There's an email address, comment at consumerworld.org.
Great.
Consumer World is the main website that I run. Believe it or not, I started consumerworld.org in 1995.
Wow, that's fantastic.
So it's 19 years old at this point, which is kind of strange. Has the internet been around that long?
It's amazing, but it's always fresh and new because you've always, so the companies and businesses are always giving you something new to talk about, Edgar. That's right.
I started 19 years ago, I started it 3 months after Amazon and eBay.
Oh, my goodness.
To tell you how far that goes back.
Oh, my gracious.
I had collected a bunch of links to different consumer-oriented websites. And I said, gee, you know, I've got 600 links now. I should kind of categorize this and publish it because this is, you know, kind of a good reference for people who are looking for consumer information. And over the years, it's kind of morphed from this, you know, directory with 2,000 listings of everything you can imagine consumer to having a new front page every week where I talk about the latest consumer stories, scam alerts. And since I'm a longtime bargain hunter, I always tell people about the bargain of the week.
Or not. Because done some.
Stay away from this, buy that instead.
Right. Well, you've done a lot of disclosures on companies that mark up prices, then mark them down. I remember you did one noteworthy story on that not too often long ago, and that's another interesting thing for consumers.
Well, I'm going to say pricing really gets me. I think everybody loves a bargain, right?
Right.
You see sales, say 50%, and I think you'll remember that JCPenney, as an example, about 2 years ago or so, hired a new president. And he came in and said, you know, I want to be truthful with our shoppers. We really raised our regular prices on tickets, on the stub, on products in our stores. So we can always offer 50% off or 60% off or 40% off, and when consumers see that, they get excited. I want to be truthful with you, Mr. and Ms. Consumer. I want to put real prices on items, still offer sales occasionally, but none of this inflated regular prices. So he did that, and the result was sales went down.
Isn't that amazing?
And they went down substantially, and they showed him the door.
Wow.
What happened subsequently, new head of JCPenney comes in, and they sent a directive out to their stores. We're going back to the old deep discount method of retailing. And what did they do? They had their clerks take their pricing guns and mark up the price tags, in some cases double. I actually did an undercover investigation that never aired for ABC. And we went down to New Jersey and went through a JCPenney, hidden cameras. I was all wired up. It was very high tech. And this was just at the time that they were raising the regular prices on goods. So you could see the $70 pair of pants, and you peel back the label and you saw the old $35 tag. The interesting thing is consumer sales went up.
It's really boggles your mind, doesn't it? Well, you know, Edgar, I don't think that most consumers were probably aware of what was going on. And they suddenly thought, well, I'm not going to pay full price for this at JCPenney's when that honest president came in. So they decided to go back to the old method.
To be fooled. I mean, that's what gets me. They want to be fooled.
There you go. It's an illusion. That bargain may not be a bargain after all.
And, you know, with Black Friday coming up, you really want to try to separate the genuine bargain from the ones that just have an inflated regular price, or, you know, you'll see on sites, and even Amazon, you'll see most things have a list price. Well, folks, most things don't ever sell for the list price.
That's right. If you're paying list price, you're a little bit nuts.
Exactly. So it's there to make you think you're saving a bundle.
You're
not saving a bundle. I always tell people, you have to develop a price consciousness.
Yeah,
so you get a sense of a 46-inch TV should be about this. That's a good price. That's not a good price.
Yeah. Well, the other thing that gets me, and this is something that you've been so effective in doing, is pointing out how products are downsized without disclosure to consumers. And you've gotten me to the point, Edgar, when I see a product that says it's new and improved, I keep thinking they've probably reduced the content.
Well, see, that's one of the clues.
Yep.
Warning, warning, if you see new and improved on a product. To give you an example, this is radio, but just imagine I'm holding up the cookies.
Yep.
Keebler cookies recently changed their packaging. They had kind of an old, you know, brownish package, mm-hmm. not particularly attractive. And they switched to a bright yellow package, and they said in the top right-hand corner, new look, same great taste. And what's very interesting in this one, because it's not typically the way it's done, the old package of these Chips Deluxe cookies had 13.3 ounces, and they went and they put this new yellow package out with the new look. It was also 13.3 ounces. And you said, son of a gun. Here I thought I caught them. It said new look, and they left the amount the same. A few months later, they dropped down, in this case, to 11.6 ounces.
Same price, same package.
And it still says New Look on it.
Yeah.
So you would have no reason, if you're a really savvy consumer as you are, and some other of your listeners are, you wouldn't look again the next time.
No.
You figure it's the same package,
yep.
but you lost an ounce and a half or 2 ounces.
Yeah, that is really sneaky. I really, you know, don't tell me it's new and improved. The only thing they improved was the bag. I guess they'd say it's the same.
And their bottom line.
And their bottom line. Eventually, yes, that's right. I wonder if that was part of a plan. Get the New Look out there, get consumers on board, and then reduce the content.
Well, you know, it costs money. One of the other examples, I mean, for years, orange juice, you know, came in standard sizes.
Mm-hmm.
A 64-ounce, a half-gallon
mm-hmm.
container of orange juice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it went down to 59 ounces. You lost almost a little glass of orange juice out of every one. They kept the containers the same, and that's what's so maddening.
Oh, yeah.
They
don't call
your attention to it.
A candy bar where the bar looks like it's 3 inches long, and you open it up, and there's this little 2-inch candy bar inside this wrapper that's got cardboard in the bottom. I mean, really, I've learned to just go down there and feel it.
There's some consumer folklore that says this whole idea of downsizing started with the nickel candy bar.
Okay, well, hang that thought for a minute, and let me just take a break here and tell our listeners they're tuned in to Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Edgar Dworsky. He's the founder of ConsumerWorld.org and my favorite website, MousePrint.org. You've got to visit them, folks. Go ahead, Edgar. Sorry about that.
We're talking about how downsizing began. There's some lore out there that says it started decades and decades ago when we used to have nickel candy bars and they were sold in vending machines. Well, I guess the price of chocolate must have gone up, and the vending machine makers are saying, what are we going to do? Our machines take a nickel, and we have to pay more for the chocolate bars. So they apparently convinced the manufacturers, maybe if you make the bar a little bit smaller, we can still sell it for a nickel. And that's my understanding of how downsizing began.
Well, I love the thing that you do about toilet paper.
Oh,
the shrinking rolls of toilet paper.
I don't know how old both of your listeners are, but I go back quite a ways, and I remember back in the 60s or 70s when Charmin was first introduced. The original Charmin toilet paper had 650 sheets on a roll, and Mr. Whipple would, admonish shoppers, please don't squeeze the Charmin.
Right.
So we start out at 650 sheets, and then it goes, I don't remember the exact numbers, down to 600, 550, 500. We're down currently on a double roll of Charmin, double roll, to about 164 sheets.
Are you kidding me?
Today's Charmin is a fraction. That's why you now see in the stores double roll, triple roll. Well,
you're still not
getting it. You could never triple the 600 sheet one.
No.
But when you take away 400 of the 600 sheets, now all of a sudden you can offer a double or triple roll.
And raise the price.
And they made them narrower. Scott toilet paper, 1,000 sheets. You say, well, they can't fool around with that one. Oh, yes, they can. They can take a half an inch off the length of each sheet. They can take a third of an inch off the width of the sheet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pretty soon we're going to have a roll that looks like a roll of postage stamps.
Good
coming
Lord.
Coming on our toilet holders.
Oh, man. I tell you, it really is amazing the tricks that manufacturers try to play on us. I guess that they feel that, well, look, I'm not against them making a profit. Goodness knows I'm a great supporter of our industry and our businesses. But do it straightforward. Treat me like I've got some brains.
They're the first to tell you when they have a bonus pack. Oh, look, 10% more free.
Mm-hmm.
They're not so quick to tell you when they've cut out some of the content.
Same size, but paying the same price, but it's got less in it. You're never going to see that.
So because I call downsizing a sneaky way to raise the price. So if you're paying the same price, and when you ask the manufacturer, why do you downsize the product instead of just raise the price? They say, well, consumers are very price sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. And consumers will notice the price increase. That's true. But if we take a little bit out of the product and still charge, we want to charge a familiar price, they say. Mm-hmm. That's their term. We want to charge a familiar price. So if it's still $299 for the product, you have less reason to scrutinize the product label. And they'll say, plus, it's right there on the label.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Well, but that's true.
But we as consumers are trained to check the price.
Right.
Maybe
right.
read the ingredients. Maybe read the nutrition facts. But we're not sensitive to the net weight. We have to become net weight conscious. So you know, when you go to buy that mayonnaise, which forever used to be 32 ounces, and then it went down to 30. Or you go to buy ice cream. Think of one of the product categories that's been downsized time and time again. It was standard to buy a half gallon of ice cream, 64 ounces.
Mm-hmm.
Then it went to 56. You lost a whole cup. Then you lost another whole cup. And it went down to 48 ounces. And that is the typical size of ice cream.
It's shrinking, the shrinking world. My goodness. Yeah, I know. It just astonishes me, Edgar. That's why I have such fun reading the stuff that you do, particularly Mouse Print, which talks about all of these things and how they do it and how advertisers, and look, most of the ads are pretty straightforward and pretty good. But boy, I'll tell you, sometimes there's some of them out there that really get us. What's the worst one that you think you've seen? Is there one that comes to mind?
I don't know what this. I mean, certainly the accumulation of changes in paper products, paper towels, as well as toilet paper, because you're used to grabbing, the four-roll package
right.
or the triple pack of Bounty. All these things have been downsized time and time again. And if you think one of the early ones was just coffee. It used to be a 16-ounce can of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And then it became 13 ounces somewhere along the way. And when you ask Procter & Gamble, that made Folgers, how come you downsize it? Well, we've now fluffed up the beans. And it takes up more room in the container. But the can always stayed the same size.
Yep.
It's just we're being nickeled and dimed. At least be aware of it. Send a letter to the manufacturer to complain. Maybe they'll send you a few coupons. Use unit pricing in the store so you get a sense of if you're paying more per ounce.
That is really the greatest thing for consumers is to look at the unit pricing. I've learned to do that, Edgar. You've taught me well.
And believe it or not all states have unit pricing laws.
Oh, really?
That require the price per ounce. Believe it or not, I have a colleague in Australia. They never had unit pricing in all of Australia until a year or two ago.
Oh, for goodness sakes.
When he fought, we've had it in many states for 30 years, maybe 40 years.
That's true.
And unit pricing is just coming in Australia.
we only have about a minute left here, and I do want to let our listeners know that there's also two other websites that you've done, Edgar, that I think are really extraordinary. One is consumerreporters.net, where you have consumer reporters posting their stories at this spot, so you can get such a tremendous wealth of consumer information there from things that people have done on the air around the country. And the other one is the Deal Alerter. Now, I wonder what that's all about.
Well, Deal Alerter is a comparison price engine.
Right.
So you can check prices, and if you see a price, you like the item, but the price is too high, you can set it to automatically send you an email when the price drops.
I love that. Well, look, Edgar, it has been such fun talking to you. Again, the websites that you really must visit are consumerworld.org and mouseprint.org. And if you don't enjoy those, then don't know what to say. I'm Shirley Rooker. You've been listening to Of Consuming Interest right here on Federal News Radio 1500. Again, Edgar Dworsky has been my guest. Thank you so much for joining me. If you want to get in touch with me, you can contact me at shirley@callforaction.org. Thank you.
Of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by WUSA 9 Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.